Well, today, as we continue on our gifts series, I want to talk to you about the beautiful gift of healing. Not necessarily that today will be a healing service, although I'd love to do one of those. I love those. But I believe that the Lord wanted us to look at what it looks like to have the gift of healing and what does it take to receive or activate the gift of healing. So that's what our message is going to be about today. So the goal is actually for you to be activated in the gift of healing. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So when we think of the gift of healing, often our mind, it goes to physical issues, right? But God actually heals in multiple ways. He's the healer of our spirit. And we're born again when he heals our spirit, right? He's the healer of our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So he comes and he brings all kinds of inner healing and transformation. He's the healer of our soul, and we actually have renewed minds as a result. And he heals our body. So the gift of healing actually involves all of these categories. It's much wider and broader than you may have thought. You may have thought the gift of healing was all about getting somebody's back pain to leave or their head pain to leave, right? But it's so much broader. Yeah. And the gift of healing is desperately needed today. It's desperately needed because there's people that are desperate for it. They're desperate for salvation. They're desperate for freedom from all that attack in their minds that causes them to not be who they're supposed to be. And they're desperate, desperate oftentimes for physical healing. I was one of those people that was desperate once, and praise God for physical healing as well, because he touched me and I was instantly healed of an incurable disease. He does that. He does that too. He does it all. He's like this God of abundance. Like, he wants to give all of this to us, right? Not just this little boxed up version that we have. He's like the abundant God. So, are you aware that there are people around you right now that are actually dying? They're dying spiritually. They're dying in their soul. They're dying emotionally or mentally. And they're dying physically because you haven't been activated in the gift of healing. Did you know that? I think we have this mentality oftentimes that one person, one special person gets the gift of healing, and it's meant to be for the whole body of Christ. But actually, God can release the gift of healing in any moment when any of you pray. The gift of healing will come. So don't ever be afraid to pray, because he wants to do it. Remember, he's a God of abundance. And oh, how he loves to touch his kids. And oh, how he loves to give to them. So we don't have to go very far to see that, you know, today our world is kind of in a mess. All you have to do is flip on the TV or take a look at your Apple News, and you'll see there a lot of darkness in the world, right? But we're called to be the light in the darkness. And the gift of healing actually gives us a great bridge to people, to be able to help them and bring them into healing and bring them into the place of either salvation, right, or the place of freedom and deliverance from everything the enemy is doing to them mentally and emotionally, and also everything that's being done to them physically. There's a lot of that darkness out there. I can't even turn on certain television stations because I can see what's coming out of their eyes, and it's gnarly. So we have a great call in our lives. We have a great call in our lives to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to release healing everywhere we go. Do you know that, like, you have this whole circle that you touch that I don't touch? Right? I was at my sweet dermatologist friend's office this week, and she's touching people that I could never touch, right? Each of you are in different places where you're touching all different people, And so we have this great call to be the light in that place where we are, our circle, right? Our circle of influence. And if God actually gifts you up with more than what you need so that you can give it abundantly to others, how great that would be, how much better our world would be because of the circles of people that you each individually touch. Make sense? Yeah. So as you look through the scripture, you may see many ways that healing can come. So many that you may even wonder, what is the right way to go about either, whether if you need healing, to go about getting healing, or what is the right way for you to actually pray for healing? You know, there's the laying on of hands, because the Bible says to lay hands on the sick and they'll be made well. There's the anointing with oil. The Bible says to gather the elders together and lay hands on people and they will be made well. Or it may be done through deliverance, like when Jesus and his disciples cast out demons and they were healed. It could be through the prayer of agreement, where two or three, the word says when two or three are gathered together to pray, that it shall be done. Or it could be the faith. Maybe it'll come through your faith, or maybe it'll come through that person's faith, or it'll come from your faith when you're praying for somebody, when you choose to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, or spend time in his presence. You can actually receive healing when you spend time in his presence. Did you know that? So it actually comes just from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit as well. So there's just all these different ways. But I just have to tell you, there's no one answer. I mean, you might think, do I need to do all these? Do I need to check every lever? No. I just think it's press into God and ask him how he wants to do it, because I know he's a God who wants to do it. And so it's all of the above. It's all of the above, and it may be only one of those things. It may be only through one of those things that you receive healing or you are able to minister healing to someone. Does that make sense? So our God, one thing you need to know, and you need to get it right down deep in your heart, and that is our God is a healing God. In Exodus 15:26, God actually calls himself Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals. Most of you all know that. He self-identifies as a God who is a healer. Think about that. Not in the New Testament, way back in the Old Testament. He said, this is who I am. Right. He is the God who heals. And keep in mind, please, he's in you. Now, okay, if you're thinking right now of that person you prayed for and they didn't receive healing, maybe they didn't receive salvation, maybe they didn't receive the emotional freedom that you had hoped they'd get, I get it. It's painful. But don't ever let that shut you down from laying hands on someone for healing or praying for them. Because at any moment, God can release the gift of healing through you. What I'm believing and understanding from him is both a gift that's given that you can walk in, and it's also a situational gift that he gives in the moment. So don't ever disqualify yourself and think, well, I don't have the gift of healing. You know, maybe so-and-so should pray for them. No, God can release that gift in any moment. And don't ever let that one time when you prayed, or those multiple times when you prayed and they didn't get healed, don't ever sit in that spot and cause it to not let you pray again. Don't ever let the enemy attack your mind and think, I don't have enough, or I don't have what it takes. Just keep praying. Because, you know, there's a great mystery involved in this. Sometimes people don't get healed because of something that they're walking in. And sometimes people don't get healed because of, I'm having this thought of a time when I went to pray for somebody, and all of her pain left. All of the inflammation in her wrists and her ankles left. And then I saw her the next week, and I said, how is your pain now? And she said, it was really great for a while, and now it's about 50% bad again. And so I invited her over the house for prayer. And when I started to pray for her, she said, the Lord said to me, I just heard the word unforgiveness. So I stopped the prayer, and in the middle of the prayer, I asked the Lord, I asked her, I said, can you think of anybody that you need to forgive? And tears started running down her face. And everyone in the room seemed to know why she'd brought her daughters with her. They seemed to know why. And I said, well, I don't need to know. All I know is that I think this could be blocking your full healing. So would you be willing to forgive right now? And she said yes. And so after praying through a prayer of forgiveness, letting go of that which she was holding against this person, then I prayed again. And again, all of that inflammation and puffiness left, and all of the pain left as well. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But that's who he is. That's who he is. That's so good. And sometimes people don't get healed because we haven't got to the root of what's blocking them. Keep that in mind. Or sometimes they may not get healed because it may not just be God's sovereign timing. Some of you have seen me maneuvering around for the last few months on crutches. I've been prayed for by many people, and I prayed myself. And it was not God's sovereign timing for me to be healed. And I have learned so many lessons through that process. But let me tell you one of the biggest ones. I've been going to a physical therapist, and I've literally had to reignite muscles and ligaments that were not working at all. They completely atrophied because I couldn't move because I had a fractured kneecap. So here I am without the ability to move them, so all those muscles atrophy. And so I've been going to this physical therapist, and I have been blown away at my progress from the time I started to the time now, and how much stronger my leg is. And in that process, I've realized that exercise is actually a good thing. Yeah, you need to know this about me. I used to call exercise the E word. All my exercise girlfriends, when they wanted to go, I tried. Like, I would go, and I'd do that 6 a.m. run, and I'd come back so nauseous, I just gave the whole thing up. Like, it just wasn't for me. But now I actually realized that I needed this. And, you know, when I fell and I broke my kneecap, hit on that stone, and it twisted and everything, when that happened to me, as soon as I hit the ground, I started praying. I'm like, Lord, how do I pray? Ask the Holy Spirit, how do I pray? And as soon as I hit the ground and started praying that, I heard, I'm rebuilding that knee. So in my mind, I thought, oh, great, I'm going to be good by the end of the week. And I kept declaring that, I'm going to be better by, you know, my God's rebuilding that knee. And so then by the end of the, next week, I thought, well, it's not done yet, but this must be taking him a while to rebuild this knee. So it went on and on like this, but then actually I realized that God was rebuilding my knee in a way I really, really needed it. I actually, at my point of life, need to exercise. And I needed to know the value of it. And prior to this fall, I had been told about 10 years ago that I was going to have knee replacement surgery on both of my knees. So do you see what's been happening? He's rebuilding this knee in this natural way, right? And he's also taught me the value and importance of exercising for the rest of my life. So I've gotten the greater gift. Yes. Yes. So I'm really thankful for that. And kind of blown away that he's put me in a place where I can stand here. I tried to talk our pastor out of me doing this because at the time I was still on a cane. And and the Lord has just done amazing things in that last 2.5 weeks since I tried to get out of this. But I actually feel pretty good. Look at that. One knee. One standing on the bad leg. Whew. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So I want to tell you that God wants to equip us. He wants to equip us with all, he wants to equip all of you with everything that you need for the calling that he's put on your life. And he's told us to go out and lay hands on the sick and they'll be made well. So he actually wants to equip you for that. So one of the ways that he equips us is through the prayer of impartation. I have found in my own life that prayers of impartation have actually activated those gifts in me. And I have seen incredible results as a result of that. When someone first said to me, I was at a conference and they said, everyone who wants impartation, come over here. And everyone who wants healing, come over here. And I was like, impartation, that must be for just special people. I didn't know what that meant. But since that time, I have both experienced prayers of impartation that have activated the gifts and increased the level of grace or anointing that for praying for healing. And I've radically seen the difference. One of those actual impartations came as a result of praying. I realized when I was praying for people that I needed more than just the gift of healing, but I actually needed to have the gift of miracles, because I realized that they needed a whole new body part. You know, that's a creative miracle. So I started praying for the gift of miracles, which I believe, I think that's still coming up next week. But I started praying and asking God for that. And about 3 months after praying and asking for that, I actually received a sovereign impartation where I was in worship for a couple of hours and I heard the Lord say, I'm bringing you something new. And I felt his presence and it didn't lift for about a half an hour. And I asked him what it was and he said, the gift of miracles. And that next week, that was like on a Friday, that next week there was a young woman who came to me and said, I need healing for my teeth. She says, every time I go to the dentist, I have multiple cavities, and now I've been diagnosed with, like she said, 10 to 12 cavities every time she went to the dentist. And she was a nurse, so she was fastidious about going to the dentist when she's supposed to. And she said, I was fastidious about everything they told me to do to keep my teeth healthy, but still I have this problem. And I said, I've never had anybody ask me to pray for their teeth, but you know, I can't say that I didn't have any faith to pray that prayer, but I prayed it. And in the middle of the prayer, I heard the Lord say, pray healing for the apostate. And I didn't know what that meant. So I said to that voice that I hear, say to me that you are Jesus Christ who walked this earth in the flesh. And he said he was. So I prayed it. I just prayed healing in the name of Jesus Christ over the apostate. And then I heard, now pray healing to the, said apostate first. Oh, to the amalgam. And I didn't know what that was, but I knew that was a dental term. So I just prayed, I just spoke healing in the name of Jesus Christ over the amalgam. And after the prayer was over, I told the woman, I don't know what the, I don't know what those two words mean. We looked him up, we Googled him, and when she found out that the first word, apostate, means one who's pulled away from a religious sect or organization, her eyes got really big. And she says, oh, well, I gave this very same prayer request in my Sunday school class, and it was like a pin dropped in the room. And she said, it's because, you know, it's a denomination, it doesn't really pray for healing, but I believe in it, and I thought they would pray with me, and they didn't do that. And not only that, she said, I got a letter in the mail that following week that signed by Jesus with no return address that said, if you need healing for your teeth, you need to go to the dentist. So she decided she was never again going back to that denomination, that church or that denomination, the church she had been raised in all of her life. And so no wonder I'm praying healing over the apostate, right? And then when we looked up amalgam, we found out it was the filling that, it's what the mixture used to create fillings in your teeth. And when she heard that, she jumps off the sofa, runs to the mirror on the wall, looks at her teeth. Like, I wouldn't even have thought to do that. And she kind of squealed out loud and she goes, I don't have any metal fillings in my mouth anymore. And I was like, what? I said, girl, are you sure you had metal fillings in your mouth? She goes, yes. She grabs my arm. She hauls me into the other room where my husband and her husband were talking. She says to her husband, John, open your mouth. And like a really good husband, he opened his mouth. And I see all the metal fillings in his mouth. And then she says, see that? That's what my mouth used to look like. We go to the same dentist. And I'm like, and I looked again in her teeth, and her teeth had, looked like they had fillings, but it was the same color as her teeth. There was absolutely no metal in her teeth. And it was confirmed by her dental hygienist and dentist the next time that she went. That's what came after realizing that I needed more than the gift of healing. I also needed the gift of miracles. And since that time, I've seen God do crazy, wonderful things. I remember praying for Kristen over here, and I was asked to pray. I was 2 hours away. I called and I prayed, and I just hope God would just relieve her of some of her symptoms, right? And she said, just until she made it to the emergency surgery in Salt Lake, where she was scheduled for knee replacement surgery. And started to pray for her, and I kept praying everything I heard. I heard the Lord say, break that, tell that ankylosing spondylitis to go. I didn't even know she had ankylosing spondylitis. In the name of Jesus Christ, I heard, tell everything that came with that rheumatoid arthritis to go. So I told it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything I heard, I kept praying. And every time I pray, her pain level would come down and down and down and down. And then the very last thing, this prayer took about an hour, by the way, praying off generational curses, praying off all kinds of things that can block people from healing. The last thing I heard to pray was, now pray healing, restoration to the hardware. Because her hardware in her knee had come loose. She'd had that had happened to her before. And the last time that she had that surgery to put the hardware back together again, they told her that she might lose her leg. So she was in a desperate position, right? So the Lord says, pray healing, pray restoration to the hardware. And I was like, I can pray that? Like, over the phone? And the Lord goes, are you willing? And I'm like, yeah. So then I heard words like melding and welding and reconstruction. I prayed every word I heard, and when I got done, I said, well, now check your pain now. She goes, Dina, I don't have any pain. I'm like, praise the Lord. Go, like, move your knee kind of sideways, left to right. Do you have any pain? She said, no, I don't. And I go, well, try bending a little bit and see if there's any pain. She's like, I don't have any pain. I'm like, praise the Lord. I'm like, well, try putting your foot on the floor and see if there's any pain. She goes, okay, I did. I don't have any pain. And then I'm like, can you walk? She gets up and she starts to walk. It's just, Dina, I don't have any pain. I go, you got the healing. It's for real. Here she gets, this, can you stand up? She'd come today because she normally has to work on Sunday, but she's here to testify it. Oh, the Lord is so good. She canceled the emergency surgery that was scheduled for the following Wednesday. She hasn't had any problems since. That was a creative miracle, right? It was multiple. Now that I think back on the words that were prayed, there were healing prayers, there were deliverance prayers, and then finally there was a prayer for a creative miracle. So I believe actually today that God wants to impart to you this gift, these gifts, or other gifts today. So today I just want to talk to you really quickly about, I'm going to have to make this really quick, about impartation. Okay, do you remember reading of Moses when he complained to the Lord, after he was leading all the children of Israel through the desert for so long, and they were whining and complaining and they wanted meat? And he said, he complained to the Lord. He said, I need help. I can't do this by myself. And the Lord said, all right, well, let's go to Numbers 11, 16 through 17, and we'll see. It Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring to them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that's on you and put it on them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. Can you see that God can take spirit and put it on them, on someone else? Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. There you go. Laying the hands on. Yes, we got it. Laying the hands on for an impartation of prayer will result in you receiving a gift. The gift of wisdom in this case. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you through a prophecy when the body of elders had laid their hands on you. So obviously, you can even receive the gift of prophecy. You can receive any of the gifts. If you take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, it's going to tell you all the gifts that you can receive. You can receive the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, etc. When I found out you could get gifts, I put my hand on every finger on every single one of those in the Bible, and I said, God, do I have that? And if you said no, I said, can I have it? And he said yes to every one of them. I said, can I have it right now? He said yes, except for one. He did say one. He said, you don't need it. You don't need it now. But since that time, I've been given it. Well, of course he would be like that. He's put this call on your life to touch the world around you, to touch your circle, your influence. Of course he would give you every good gift you need. Do you know what? Why would he not? Oh, I think I just gone off notes. Because he's a father. He's a father who loves to give good gifts to his children. In Matthew 7:11, oh, where is that in my notes? Sorry, Hannah. In Matthew 7:11, he says, I am a good father. He said that by saying, who of you, even though you're evil or of an evil nature because you're human, right, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He's a God of abundance. Let's break off that, like, orphan spirit that's hanging over your head telling you, I can't have that. You can have all of it. He wants you to have all of it. He wants you fully equipped for the mission that he's given you for this world. Yeah. So, where was I? Romans. Let's go to Romans 1:11. Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. So impartation is very, very biblical. We see that God imparts gifts through the prayer said with the laying on of hands. After the conclusion of this message, I and some of the pastors are going to gather together and we're going to join and we're going to pray for you for impartation. So right now, if you want that, just start asking for it. We're going to line up. We're going to line up and have people come right up here along the front edge of the platform, and then there's another marked out line with blue tape so that we can get more people. But I want the people to come. I feel like the Lord said, invite the people to come who feel the presence of God. If you start asking right now, and by the end of this message, if you feel the presence of God, that means he is ready to give you a gift. And I would like, and the other pastors, we would like to agree with you in that. We would like to lay hands on and agree and partner with him in prayer for the release of an impartation that he wants to give you. Now, I must get through these because the Lord said I was supposed to tell you this. First of all, I believe he said that he wants you to know that he is God. Isaiah 45:5 says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. He is God. And he says, I will strengthen you. He also said to tell you that he fulfills his plans through those who are willing to partner with his plans. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In 1 Corinthians 3:9, the word says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Excuse me. The third thing he said to tell you is that partnership is all about joy in the kingdom. You were made for joy. And I'm starting to feel it right now because my leg feels amazing up here. Yes. Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God, it's not about earthly things like eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have prayed for somebody or been involved in a ministry where you have been able to minister to other people and have brought you great joy? Would you please raise your hand? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. It is the most joyful thing. I mean, even with a fractured knee, when this a week after this first happened to me, I stood up here and ministered for an hour and a half in prayer because it's just like, it's so delightful. It's so fun. It's so fun to see, to partner with the Lord and see Jesus get his full reward, get everything he paid for on that cross. All right, fourth thing he said to tell you is, "My ways are not your ways." Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He said to tell you that you will know me as you come to know my ways and partner with me for my will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And John 17:3, you know, my favorite verse that you'll probably hear in every message I ever preach, and that is, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent." Knowing him is what it's all about. And I tell you what, when you lay hands on somebody and him in you, he releases a gift of healing through you, you're going to know him more, right? Oh, yeah, because you're going to watch him demonstrate his power and you're just going to be amazed. All right, another thing he said to tell you, "Look to me and see what I'm doing and join me in it." John 5:19-20 says, Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly, I tell you." By the way, when he says something like "very truly" or "truly, truly," let's really pay attention to that. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves his Son and shows him all that he does. Yes. And he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." So what did Jesus do? He looked to the Father to see what was happening in every situation, which is a great way to enter into a prayer for healing. Ask God what he's doing. Ask him to show you. You'll see it in your mind's eye. You may even see an open vision right in front of you what God's doing. He may tell you. Listen for the thought that drops in your head. He's going to tell you what he wants to do, and so that you can partner with him. And it's all about partnering. It's not about you declaring what you want for that person. It's about partnering with him. Yes, there's a place for declaration prayers. Yes. When we've heard what God wants, let's declare it over people, right? Yeah. So Jesus, we know what Jesus did, but let's take a look at Acts. Oh boy, we really need to hurry. Acts 10:38. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is what Jesus did. He spent his ministry teaching about the kingdom of God, and all were healed who came to him. None were rejected. In Matthew 12:15b, A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. In the Greek, that word all, it means all. Matthew 8:16, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. Luke 6:19, all the crowd sought to touch him because power came out from him, and he healed them all. His fame spread out through, Matthew 4:24, his fame just spread out all through Syria, and people soon began bringing them all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them all. Thank you, Lord. So that's what Jesus did. God, the Father, who says, I'm Jehovah Rapha, sent Jesus, and that was the business of Jesus while he was here on the earth, while teaching about the kingdom of God. Then Jesus commissioned us all to heal. First, he commissioned the 12 disciples. So in Matthew 10:1-8 reads, and when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and disease. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Then he commissioned the 70. He sent out in Luke 10:1-9, we read, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, go and heal the sick that are there and stay and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God is all about healing the sick. Okay, and then we are commissioned. He told the disciples, go out and spread this message so that we would all do the same. In Matthew 28:19, the word says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And what did he command them to do? Lay hands on the sick, that they may be made well. He says, and surely I'm with you to the end of the age. Oh, okay, so it wasn't just for them. He would never have said that just to them. He wouldn't have said, and I'm with you to the end of the age. That was a message to all of us who are still here a lot longer than they were. Do you see what I'm saying? So Jesus said in Mark 16:17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Paul said in Romans 1:11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Colossians 1:29, for we labor with all his energy that works so mightily within us. Ah, that's what he's talking about. The power, the energy that works within us is the power, for example, to heal. It's the power to even to know something about somebody and be able to prophesy to them and lift them up. It's the power for all of these things. So, next, we're going to get ready to pray for impartation for those of you who want to have the gift of healing. And also, I've noticed that even when we pray impartation, it's my intent when I'm praying that he would give you all that you need for the calling on your life. So there will be other things that you will receive. I've actually prayed prayers of impartation and seen people get healed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just curious, is there anybody in here could test it out and see if you, just curious, would he have sovereignly brought you healing as you heard these scriptures today? Is there anybody in the room who could test out? Is there anything different? Do you feel different? Because I feel totally different. Look at this. Leg is moving great. I think Pastor Lynn may have prophesied that when he said, oh, Dina, maybe you'll get healed while you're up there speaking. Anybody here have experienced anything? I'm just checking. If you've noticed a difference in your body. Did somebody raise their hand over here? I can't see. Where? Who? I got two people pointing at me that it's over here. You're over here. Was it you? Well, come on now. Let's give God the glory. What did he do? That's all right. Yeah. Yeah, get up there. Check it out. Go. Check it out. What do we have to do to verify? Do you have to carry something heavy? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that, he's so good that way. He's so good. Okay. So I am to tell you that we are to actually to eagerly desire these gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, he said, Paul said, eagerly desire the greater gifts. He's a good father, remember, who loves to give good gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Oh yeah, this gift is not so that you can get a platform. You can get a ministry online. You can get monetized because you're going to tell about all the people who have been healed. No, the gifts of God are not for that. The gifts of God are the heart of the Father for the people around you. It's all about doing the will of the Father like Jesus did and getting everything he paid for on that cross. And the gifts are an expression of his love to his children and even those he wants to bring into the fold. Psalm 107:20, Sarah Hannah, I am hopping around. He sent out his word and he healed them. Psalm 103:2 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. I'm supposed to ask you, how is everyone supposed to receive if all my children aren't in partnership with me? And I'm also supposed to tell you that nothing disqualifies my children from receiving gifts. But holiness is a prerequisite for seeing mighty moves of God. He wants you to know that he partners with clean, pure vessels who surrender themselves to him and his plans. A fully surrendered life unto him is a life where his desire is your desire. So I invite you, he invites you, to live clean, pure, and fully surrendered lives. That's all it takes. I distinctly remember when I prayed that prayer. I was in a hotel room, and I was going to a little mini session called Summer Intensive. It's before you sign up to go to ministry school. And I was there for 3 weeks, and I just remember, like, every time I hear the word surrendered, I remember that ottoman that was in that hotel room and how I just, like, laid my arms wide before him and said, God, I fully surrender. I'll do whatever you want me to do for the rest of my life. And there's been no greater joy. My life has become so joyful. Is it perfect? No, but boy, is it joyful because of that surrender. That's all it takes. All right. At this moment, I feel like he wants me to pray. I'm going to begin praying for those of you who would like to receive his gifts. And then again, once again, I'm going to ask those of you who feel that God is at work, you can tangibly feel his presence, or you can see, or you can hear from him that he is in work, at work in you. I want you to step forward in the first row, come and put your toes right along the edge here. And the second row, come stand along this blue line. And then we're going to lay hands on. But before I pray that, let me tell you this, that there, this is what I heard to tell you, that you will be the difference makers that you were created to be. And holiness will become your mantra, because holiness is more than purity. It's communion with the one who can only reside in fully surrendered vessels. That's why holiness will become your mantra or your passion. It's because you'll want nothing in between you and him. Because once you taste and see, oh my goodness, once you taste and see how good he is, oh, there's no turning back. You'll just want more and more. And I heard that new holy vessels will be created. And this church will no longer be the same. Many will come to know him. And I them, he said. He said, oneness is possible. He said to tell you that. That's what he wants for you. He wants oneness in the spirit with you. So, shall we pray? Will you agree? Just simply begin to agree with me in this prayer. Father God, we recognize that all you want to do is give us good, good gifts. You're not a God of condemnation. You're a God who loves so well that you want to spend all of our days here on earth with us, residing in us and with us. We know that requires a surrendered and holy life. So Lord, right now we just say that anything that we've done that not holy, we repent of that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for washing us clean, making us holy vessels. We thank you for your blood, Lord, that brought us into a state of righteousness before the Father. We thank you, Jesus, for that. And Jesus, we remember everything you did on the cross. We remember, Lord, that everything you did on the cross, even it pays for all of our sins. And it allows us to be in oneness with the Father, in oneness with you. We remember that, Lord. And we just ask that you come right now, and that you would just fill all of us right now from the top of our heads to the bottom of our toes with more of you. We surrender our lives to you, Lord. And we ask that you would come again, Lord. We ask that you come and fill us, Lord. Fill more, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can see the Lord is really starting to move on some of you. As you feel his presence, move forward to the front, please. Lord, I thank you. Some of you may feel heat. You may feel tingling. You may be shaking. You may just feel overwhelmed with his presence. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. More, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're so good.
for what you're doing. Thank you for filling us, Lord.
Pastors, you can come front and help me pray. I'm going to go into ministry time. Thank you, Lord.